Before we open God's word, let us bow our heads for a word of prayer. We rejoice, dear Heavenly Father, with joy unspeakable for the great work of salvation that thou hast done and provided for us, that we might have the hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our risen Lord and Savior. Father, for this gift, we give thee thanks. We praise thy name. And Father, we pray, Lord, that we would go forth in joy and in thy power, thankful for the things in which thou hast done, for that which work which thou hast completed upon the cross and the empty tomb that has been left. We pray, O God, that thou wouldst bless our reading and the meditation thereof. We give thee the thanks and give thee the praise, praying this all in the blessed name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. For our reading this morning, let's turn to a precious scripture found in Matthew chapter number 28. Matthew 28. In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulchre. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning, and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. And go quickly, and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large sum unto the soldiers, saying, Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught, and this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you alway, even until the end of the world. Amen. We are the benefactors of that which Moses and the prophets had prophesied would come, that the Messiah would come here upon this earth, take upon himself flesh and blood, live a perfect, sinless life, that he, as the perfect Lamb of God, flawless, would become a sacrifice once and for all, shedding his blood upon a cross, giving up his life, that we would have forgiveness of our sins, and then to leave the tomb empty behind, and to rise and to be the first among the resurrected, and to give us a hope of eternal life. We are the benefactors of all of this. This wonderful plan of salvation that the Lord hath put together, we rejoice in. And we give God the glory and the praise and the honor for all that he has done, all that he has accomplished. And so we read of this throughout scriptures, throughout the Old Testament and the Gospels, and then a confirmation of it in the epistles likewise. In the Psalms, we read, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption." Jesus Christ, the Holy One, was not going to see corruption. He was to give his life, but then his body would not be left in the tomb. He would not see corruption. And so this prophecy and this truth has come to pass, and we rejoice in it. And right here next to this verse in Psalm 16, it says, "Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope." Because in his presence there is fullness of joy. His flesh saw no corruption. The Holy One of God saw no corruption, though he died. Though he died, his body did not see corruption, the Holy One. And therefore, our heart is glad. And therefore, we rejoice. And therefore, our flesh can just simply rest in peace, in this hope that we have in what Jesus Christ has done for us. We rejoice in him. We rejoice in this great plan of salvation that Jesus Christ hath accomplished in the flesh, upon the cross, and rising in the resurrected state, and is currently at the right hand of God, interceding for each and every one of us. But to fully understand and to fully appreciate the resurrection, we have to also consider the crucifixion and that which was needed to be paid, that our sins could be forgiven. This also was prophesied in Isaiah. He was despised. And all these things happened to him. And we read these things in the previous chapter. It says that they mocked him. It was a difficult time. One of his disciples betrayed him. One of his disciples denied him. And all of his disciples forsook him. He was lonely. And he was mocked there. Put a robe upon him. Smitten. He was reviled. But yet he didn't revile again. And then there was this darkness. In these lonely hours upon the cross, there was this darkness over all the earth for a space of 3 hours. And they crucified him, and they pierced his side, having that crown of thorns upon his head, his blood flowing that we might be forgiven of our sins. This was the dark hour. This is what it cost, that our sins would be forgiven. And this is what Jesus has accomplished. But then there's the resurrection. And Jesus makes a declaration later on, and he says, "I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore." And he makes a statement by that declaration by saying, "Amen." And in this we rejoice, that Jesus is alive. He was dead, but he is alive. And he lives forevermore. All power is given unto him. And we rejoice in this resurrection. We rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done. For it is a fulfillment of the scriptures. And in this, our heart is glad. In this, our glory rejoiceth. And in this, we rest in the flesh, in the hope that we have of what Jesus Christ has accomplished for us, for each and every one of us. This is the work of the Lord. This is what he hath done. Ours is to have faith in it, but if Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, our faith is vain. This is the work of Jesus Christ. This is what he accomplished, and in this we rejoice. And so it was that Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of Zebedee's children, they were there when Jesus was crucified. It says they were witnesses to these things. They were afar off. Beholding those things afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee. They had witnessed when Jesus had given up the ghost. They had witnessed when that soldier and the centurion and those that were with them, when they said, truly, this was a righteous man. They were witnesses when Joseph of Arimathea took the body of Jesus as he requested it from Pilate, and wrapped it in clean linen cloth, put a napkin around his head, and placed it in a new tomb that Joseph had made even for himself. They were witnesses of these things, Mary and the other women that were there. They beheld these things. And so it was then, on the first day of the week, that at dawn, they come, Mary come to the sepulchre. And at that time, the stone was still there in front of the grave. And then an angel, as is recorded here in Matthew, an angel comes down. His countenance, his face was like lightning, and his raiment was white like snow. They were beholding these things, and the earth shook, and this angel had rolled away the stone. And they were now able to look inside the grave. These women, and again, these are dramatic events, and truly we can't fully capture even in our minds these great things that were transpiring here at this time. And there was the watch there that was watching, and when they beheld this angel whose face was like lightning and whose raiment was white as snow, they became as dead men. They lost all faculties. They had become as dead men, fainted. And it says that the angel then responds to the women that were there, and he says, "Fear not, ye, fear not." And you know, in so many ways, it's just as it was there when Jesus was born, that the angel came to the shepherds, and the angel says to the shepherds, "Fear not." Now this angel likewise says to Mary and Mary, "Fear not." And the angel that came to the shepherd says, "Fear not, for behold, I bring unto you good tidings of great joy." This was great joy that Jesus Christ was born. And likewise, this angel is speaking to Mary and Mary, and he's proclaiming unto them this great thing that has happened, that it's good news to all the world and of great joy. And so they are not to fear. He says, "I know who you're seeking. You're seeking Jesus who was crucified." And then he says further, he says, "He is not here. He is not here. Don't seek the living among the dead. Of thorns do men gather figs? Or of a bramble bush do they gather grapes? Why would you look for the living among the dead?" And so the angel is making that proclamation to them. He is not here. And then he makes this proclamation again. He's saying, "For he is risen as he said." He is made alive as he said he would. And so if we go earlier in this gospel, in chapter 16 and in chapter 20, Jesus is declaring to his disciples, he's saying, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be mocked and crucified by the chief priests, and then on the third day he shall rise again." He made that statement to them, and the angel is saying to Mary and Mary, as he said, these are the things that he declared. And when he made that declaration, the one time, Peter didn't hear the part about him being raised again, but he heard the part about Jesus being taken by the chief priests and being crucified. Peter says, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus said, there is a resurrection. There is a resurrection. On the third day, I will rise again, Jesus said. So the angel is telling Mary and Mary here that it's as he said, for he is risen. And then he says, come, see the place where the Lord lay. See where he was. You were there. You were sitting over against the sepulcher. You were on the other side of the sepulcher as Joseph was lying the body down in the grave, wrapped in clean, fine linen and a napkin about his head. You saw that. Now look, you came to the grave this morning and the stone was still in place and I rolled it away. And now you can see in that his body is gone. His body is no longer there. There is evidence that his body was there with the clothing and the napkin laying apart on a separate side. There is that evidence, but the tomb is empty in regards to Jesus' body. Thank God for an empty tomb. Thank God that Jesus was not there. And in this we rejoice, even as the psalmist has said, therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth, and my flesh shall rest in hope. We can simply be at peace because Jesus is resurrected, because Jesus lives. He was dead, but he lives forevermore. Amen. And so now the angel tells Mary and Mary, go quickly, make haste, go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. The angel was telling Mary and Mary, hurry, hurry, make haste. Go and tell his disciples. They should go to Galilee, and there Jesus will meet them, and they will see them. They will see him. And so they do. They depart quickly. The Bible says they depart quickly and they run. They did run to bring word to the disciples. But what happens on the way? The angel told them to hurry and they're hurrying. And then what happens? Jesus meets them on the way. Jesus meets them on the way and says, all hail. And now all of a sudden, the hurrying stops. And they see him and they recognize him for who he is. And they worshipped him and held him by his feet. They worshipped him. They believed. They believed the message of this angel that he is not here, he is alive. They believed that. And once they believed that, afterward, then they saw Jesus. They saw with their eyes. But they had faith first. They had faith first. And so Jesus tells them, be not afraid. Even as the angel said to them, fear ye not. He says, don't be afraid. Let your heart rejoice. Let your heart be glad. Let your glory rejoice. And he says, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there they shall see me. Jesus is telling them, it's going to be exactly like the angel said. We're going to meet up in Galilee, and they will see me. They will see me. They will see my resurrected state. And then when the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them, and when they saw him, they worshipped him. They saw him. Now they're seeing him. Peter and John also ran to the sepulcher, according to another gospel, and looked inside and saw that it was empty. John believed right away, the scriptures say. And they were wondering, what does this mean? What does this mean? But now they see him. Now they see him and they worship him. Then it says, but some doubted. But some doubted. They're in this mountain. And they see Jesus in the resurrected state. They see his nail-pierced hands, his nail-pierced feet. They see the scar in his side. And it says that some of them doubted. And in Mark's gospel, it says that he upbraided them for their unbelief and for their hardness of heart. the Holy One of God did not see corruption. And in this they should rejoice. And in this they should have faith. The Bible says that if in this life only we have hope of Christ, we are of all men most miserable. We're miserable. If that's all there was, Jesus came here upon this earth, took upon himself flesh and blood, did some miracles, raised some people to life again, died upon a cross, and that's it. We would be of all men most miserable. If Christ is not risen, our faith is vain and we are yet in our sins. And so Jesus had to upbraid them for their hardness of heart and for that they didn't believe, that they didn't come to full faith. And then Jesus makes a declaration to the disciples. He says, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." No man can say that. No man can say that. Mary and Mary, when they saw Jesus on the way, as they were going to tell the disciples, they worshiped him. They worshiped him. The disciples, when they saw Jesus now in this resurrected state upon the mountain in Galilee, they worshiped him. We only worship one God. We're monotheistic. We only worship one God. This was God. All power is given unto him in heaven and in earth. Then he says further, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." Go teach them. Go teach them the things that I have taught you. And be a witness of this resurrection that had taken place. And so it was that the apostles had done that. And they testified. When they were empowered with the power of the Holy Spirit, they testified of Jesus Christ and that he resurrected. In Acts chapter 4, verse 33, it says, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all." They had witnessed. Jesus Christ told them, "Go teach all nations. Go teach all nations." And with great power, they gave witness unto the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul then has an opportunity to speak to one who was supposedly mighty. He was speaking there to King Herod. And the Apostle Paul said, "This is a great privilege of mine because I'm going to speak to you about some things that you are an expert in, all the customs and questions which are among the Jews. And so none of this will be foreign to you, King Agrippa." And then he says to King Agrippa, almost in the beginning of what he has to say to them, and he's saying, why would you think it to be an incredible thing with you that God should raise the dead? Why would that be an incredible thing with you? You're an expert in the customs and traditions of the Jews. God would raise the dead. It shouldn't be incredulous. It shouldn't have been incredulous to the disciples. And then further, the Apostle Paul says to King Herod, "Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great," such as King Herod himself, "saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses said should come, that the Holy One would not be allowed to suffer corruption," and many other things. And so the Apostle Paul is just simply preaching these things and teaching these things as they were commanded to go and teach all nations, that those things which Moses and the prophets said should come, that Christ should suffer and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. This is what was going to take place. This is what was prophesied was going to come. And the Apostle Paul was just confirming that, whether it was to King Agrippa or to a jailer or to whoever it would be. He was teaching those things. And so Jesus was telling them, "Go and teach all nations, all things whatsoever I have taught you." And then baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teach those things whatsoever I have commanded you. And so they went forth, and we go forth today, and we teach those things which Jesus Christ hath commanded. First and foremost is to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We are to believe these things, this teaching of Jesus Christ. We are to believe the teaching of Jesus Christ, and we are to teach and to receive of those things which he has commanded, that we are to love our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. That is a teaching of Jesus Christ. We are to follow that teaching. We are to follow the teaching where Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Be a follower of Jesus Christ.